Hi, folks. Chinese Grand Prix aftermath. As expected, Max Verstappen just wiped the floor with everybody. It was just no contest. Super Max is just on a total another level. Surprised because there were surprises in Shanghai. I think Norris surprised himself. McLaren surprised themselves. Finishing P2, having a really strong weekend in China when they thought they had no chance. Perez, well, 1-2 on the grid, so he ticked the box in qualifying. But the race played against him. Jad will go into more detail with the safety cars. I think, you know, he fell victim to it. But I would add that when he was within a five-second window of Norris with several laps still to go, he couldn't make inroads. So Norris had him pegged at around 5 seconds throughout until the very end. So at the same time, Max was pulling 1 second a lap at the front. Perez was lacking about 1.5 seconds on his teammate, which is alarming. But end of the day, you know, P3 is not that bad. I think he's doing a good job. I mean, you know, you can't say that, you know, it's against Max. I think any driver would struggle against Max. Ferrari were next. Leclerc P4, Sainz P5. Underwhelming, actually. Hard to gauge what happened. Again, Jad will give us a rundown of what happened there. P6, Russell, pretty anonymous race, but, you know, he stuck at it, and he brought home a result. Alonso, well, for me, he was the driver of the day, although Lando got it. Alonso was just on a totally different strategy to everybody else, giving it everything, and then, of course, with fresh tires at the end, he was just a bullet, and he was just making some incredible moves. So, for me, he was driver of the day. In P8, Piastri, he had a solid race. You know, it's only second season. First time in China. Lando had been there once before. But Lando's got the edge on the kid at the moment. But you'd have to say Piastri's learning. So a good result for him on a place he's never been at. You know, it's a very, very tricky circuit that, as we saw. Of course, Hamilton, P9, that's, yeah. Well, I mean, Mercedes, what to say? Sure, Jad will have a lot to say about that. And then the final point to the Hulk, Nico Hülkenberg, contract time, gets his act together, gets a P10. So that's a summary of how they finished in the top 10. Jad handled the aftermath. So Jad, over to you. What were the highlights for you and your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first I have to start with one thing. I'm going to say I stand corrected this weekend, because in my previous takeaway, I said that, yeah, maybe Red Bull, they still don't have a good handle on the new car. And maybe, yeah, their advantage is not as big as last year. But, yeah, this race in China, especially the sprint, when Max pulled out like 13 seconds in 10 laps in that car. So either they learned everything about the car since then, or, yeah, but I have to admit, yeah, this... the RB20 is increasingly looking like to be a more dominant car than the RB19. Yeah, so apart from Max's mess in qualifying for the sprint in the rain, I think other than that, you know, he bounced back in style during the sprint race, won that. And yeah, he just maximized everything. And the race was, yeah, it was another, you know, class act by Max. There's nothing to say about that. For Checo, yeah, he was decent in qualifying, like you said, just 3/10 away from Max, a bit less than that. And then during the race, yeah, like you said, Paul, the safety car, you know, because we had the virtual safety car and then two safety cars, and that played against him. And in his defense as well, even when he was clear of the Ferraris and it was chasing Norris towards the end, his tires were done. You know, you have to keep in mind that Max is driving out in the front. He's always in clean air. He can take care of the tires more, so he can keep the pace as much as he wants. In addition to the Max factor, we know that, okay? But just a bit of defense for Checo, because, yeah, by the time he tried to attack Norris, his tires were done, and that's it. McLaren, they surprised everyone, like you said, even themselves. They were talking big, actually, before the race. Andrea Stella said that, yeah, we can target wins this year. Lando Norris said as well. during the press conference, and then boom, they delivered. They just, you know, because we said before they were fighting with Mercedes and Ferrari were the second best team, but this time they just left both of these teams in the dust, and they were just fighting for fighting with Red Bull. Piastri, you have to give experience a bit of a factor over here. He's not as experienced as Lando, but we would have expected better. And then in the end, don't forget, Piastri was part of the Lance Stroll, Daniel Ricciardo train crash, and he was compromised towards the end. Going to Ferrari, they admitted, and it was clear, they couldn't find the pace with the car this weekend. And I think maybe the setup, they were off with the setup. And look, some people were happy with the fact that after the sprint, Parc Fermé conditions were removed and they could set their cars up again. But it seems like some of them messed up their setups. I think Ferrari were one of those. And the blatant example was Lewis in the Mercedes. Lewis simply said he changed the setup, and it simply didn't work. And that it's a shame, actually, because he was second in the sprint. He was second in the sprint qualifying. And then they go and change the setup and they think it's going to be better. But he ended up finishing ninth. And it just shows you the depth of their problem. And in the race report, Toto Wolff said something interesting. He said that we need to stop finding a silver bullet every weekend in trying to set up the car. We have to go back to the basics. I don't know if this is something good for him to say or bad. It just shows how out of their depth they are and how clueless they are with this car. And there's nothing more to say. Russell apparently had the better setup and he delivered a better race, but you could see in the sprint Lewis was better. So they're just playing around with setups, and they just, you know, they're just running around, honestly, like a headless chicken. This is the thing you can say about Mercedes. Other than that, Aston Martin, no surprises there. This is where they belong in the pecking order. Alonso, again, he outperformed the car. His save in the end, mate, when he was chasing Lewis,
Wow.
Classic Fernando. The thing is, he loses the rear. It snaps. It's a violent snap. We saw what that did to Sainz in qualifying the day before. Now, Sainz did well in how he handled it, and he controlled the damage on his car. But Sainz spun in the end, you know. Fernando, mate, the guy's 42 years old, and he's got these reflexes. It's amazing. And instead of dropping back, no, by the end of the straight, he had the DRS. He made the move. He passed the car. He passed Lewis. And, you know, he was chasing Lewis. Not Logan Sargeant. It's Lewis in the car. No matter how bad this Mercedes is, it's Lewis defending, you know, and he just made that pass. Yeah, for me, he was the driver of the day. Maybe that move only gives him the driver of the day, but yeah.
And the save, mate. The save is absolutely jaw-dropping. Yeah, Lando drove a solid race, but this driver of the day, I don't know.
I'm
not a believer.
My son, he votes for Max every time, regardless, so it's what the fans love. So that's it. Anyhow, moving on. Yeah. And again, for another weekend, we see the stark differences between Fernando and Lance Stroll. That stupid crash into Ricardo. And he blames Ricardo. And then he said the penalty is a joke. Honestly, how delusional can you be? How delusional can you be to say all these things? Just look in front of you. You can see the car slowing down, hit the brakes. That's what Ricardo did. And if you can see, Ricardo was very careful because he was very close to Piastri, but he didn't hit him. But then when he got rammed by Stroll, he hit Piastri. You see everyone slowing down. Be careful. You know, it's driving 101. Keep a safe distance.
And the guy's like on his 100, and you know, he's on his 100 and something Grand Prix. He's making mistakes that they make in the F1 Academy. Seriously.
Yeah, this is the problem, mate. Look, you make mistakes. Okay, fine. My problem with him is the attitude that he makes a mistake and he thinks he can. I don't know. It's a very frustrating thing. Yeah, we have to give a mention for Hülkenberg. He's doing a very good job with the Haas. And it's a decent job he's doing. He finished 10th in the points. Very solid weekend from him. And again, you see Magnussen doing these kinds of silly mistakes when he crashed into Tsunoda. Now, the interesting thing is what happened with VCARB. We have to call them VCARB now, okay? Like we told everyone at Grumpy 247, what's their name? So, Daniel Ricciardo gets a new chassis, and suddenly he's out qualifying Yuki Tsunoda. Now, I don't believe the chassis did the difference. I think it's in his head. Helmut Marko said it's in his head. But it just comes to show you how effective, you know, or how much the driver's psyche affects his driving. So let's hope he gets better. I'm still skeptical about Ricardo, but let's see the coming races with the new chassis, how things turn out for him. Also, it's sad because he got wiped out by Stroll. He couldn't finish the race, but he was out of the points, but at least he was better than Tsunoda this time. Yeah. Other than that, nothing much to mention. It was a great weekend for Zhou Guanyu. He was basking in the Chinese love over there, and it just shows you how much those people relish the fact that they have a driver now in Formula One. They don't care if he's scoring points or not. He gave them some nice overtakes in the end. The team put him on some fresh soft tires, and he did some nice driving. But I think, and you and I talked about it, and you said that as well, I think from what we saw in China this weekend, Zhou might be staying around for some time.
Yeah, indeed. I think you summed it up pretty well. I mean, Zhou, he finished 14th, but the chanting and the cheering was like he had just won the world championship, you know, when he parked the car there, and it was amazing. And you know what I think? Zhou's a good kid. He's intelligent. That story that he was in the grandstands at the first Grand Prix, I mean, that's a fairy tale that he's racing there. So I think Zhou is a work in progress. He hasn't set Formula One alight, but in a Sauber, it's very hard to set Formula One alight. But he's been solid. He hasn't been totally blitzed by Bottas, although Bottas is a little better. I was really impressed. Chinese Grand Prix for me, will always remember those scenes. You know, every time you could hear him, that crowd, that grandstand, this must be the biggest grandstand in Formula One, just erupting. It was absolutely, I mean, I wasn't there, but just on the television, you get goose flesh. So honestly, I hope Zhou, they can up his game, get him a decent car, and let's see where he goes. You know, he's a very polite guy, and I think he's very, very good for Formula One. And I think we really need to break into that Chinese market, because I think once sport gets big there, it gets really huge. And I think Formula One and it also shows you, if you've got a national driver, as we discussed yesterday, you know, if it was a Lebanese driver or a Portuguese driver doing so well, we'd be equally, let's say, jubilant and equally pumped, because it never happens. It seldom happens. You know, the British are so used to having great drivers, the French, the Germans, you know. So, yeah, it's beautiful to see that. It's beautiful to see. And he, I think he's a decent driver. It's not like we're trying to sell Sargent to the Chinese people, you know, it's Chinese fans. You've got a driver here that is buildable. So that was beautiful, as you said. The Stroll story, man, I mean, like I said, I always thought Stroll was a good driver in tough conditions with a good car. You know what I mean? And he proved that at Racing Point. That was when he was at his best. But since Alonso's been in the team and shown him up, that was a totally stupid move. And then, of course, as you say, the guy's entitled. He's always been entitled his whole life. So he's never going to say, oh, it was my fault. So, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, the sooner they get that guy out the car, we'll send him on a sabbatical, put Filipe Drugovic in the car. But it was absolutely embarrassing. In terms of Mercedes, well, you know, Toto knows. Everyone knows. They don't know what's going on with that car. They just don't. They don't know. I think they make some changes. Hail Mary, boom. And not getting to the source of the problem. And Lewis is increasingly frustrated. I'm surprised he even arrives there to drive the car. If I was him, I'd say, hey, listen, I've had enough. Until that car can get on the front row, I can't be bothered. I'm 103-time Grand Prix winner, 104 times on pole. And you give me this thing? No, I'm sorry, I'm out of here. And let them put Antonelli in there, whoever they want to put. But honestly, to see one of the greatest drivers of our era in this situation at Mercedes, providing fodder for the haters, it's ugly, because now a lot of people who trashed Lewis are jumping on the gravy train saying he's not so good, and that because they don't understand the sport. Because, you know, you're a seven-time world champion. Don't give me a wheelbarrow to drive. You know, anyway, so they're in such a mess. I don't see them getting out of it this year, let alone last next year. So, Lewis, you picked a great time to leave Ferrari and ditch Mercedes. And I feel sorry for any driver who's going to go there in Georgia, because they don't know how to work themselves out of this. Other than that, you know, McLaren, I think also for me as a McLaren fan, if I've got a McLaren hat, I'm really happy. But I'm concerned that they don't know what car they pitch is up. Oh, we're going to China. It's going to be horrid. And they go good. So, yeah, I think a lot of these people don't understand the car like they do. And again, I'm going to sum up with what you said about Newey, you know, about this Red Bull. It's just on another level. It's built for Max, obviously, and made a lot nicer for Sergio to drive. And Max is reveling in it. Max is absolutely super Max. We've run out of plaudits, you know. So he's already the 2024 world champion. We know that. Lando Norris is increasingly emerging as about the only driver in Verstappen's shadow. I don't think he can challenge him on like if he went to Red Bull. But if Max was in a McLaren, I think it would be quite close. But at the moment, I don't think anyone's near Max. If Max is on 100, I think next best is Lando on 98 and then 97. I think Alonso's on 98. And that's about it. I don't see anyone else putting their shit boxes where Lando puts his shit box and where Alonso puts his shit box.
I have to disagree a bit on Lando, especially in racing conditions. Like in qualifying, yeah, we saw in the rain and the sprint qualifying, he was superb. But then that mistake on the opening lap with Lewis, you can't do that.
On turn one. Turn one in the sprint.
Yeah, yeah, you can do that. You can do. I think Lando should be past these mistakes. He's been around for a while as well. Like I said, like we say about Stroll, Stroll is not a rookie anymore. And Lando's not a rookie. He may be young, but he's not a rookie. He's got experience. You know, he should be past these mistakes. This is one of the things that you could see also sometimes they have Leclerc has these kind of issues. Sometimes these mistakes in racing. But if you want to go as a full package, I think, over qualifying and racing at the same time, I think, yeah, Max is on a different league, in a league of his own. And then Lewis is there, because yesterday with that disaster of a car he was driving, you know, he was making some really nice overtakes, mate. Honestly, the overtakes he was doing with that car, it's fantastic, you know. And for everyone who's saying that Lewis may be past his peak or something, yeah, he is past his peak, okay? He's not the young guy he is anymore, but he's still a decent driver. I think we can just wait until we see him in Ferrari next year and we see what he does in that Ferrari, you know? But yeah, it's too soon to say that Lewis is done. No, but when you're driving this kind of car, you have to be frustrated. Max is the best out there. And I think the ones who come closest to him in racing as a full package, I think it's Fernando and Lewis. Norris, I feel he still needs to be a bit more of a polished gem. They need to polish this gem a bit more, especially in racing.
Well, I think you sum it up, you know. End of the day, we just got Max on this ultra incredible level. And I think this is going to be the story of the whole season. We've got to brace ourselves for this, because the guy is just getting better. The package is getting better. That double stack on the first stop for both the cars, 2 seconds, it was 2.1 and 2, I think, seconds. It was absolutely Red Bull rubbing their nose and says, we've got our A game, not just with our driver, but with our crew. Every single one of that crew that did that double stack deserves their names printed on this photo and made into a poster, because that was absolutely the world champions saying, we are the best. Catch us if you can. And no one can.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They didn't need to do that double stacking, because Checo could have simply came in the lap after, but they did it. And like you said, 2.1 for Max, 2.0 for Checo. Just fantastic. They're just flexing their muscles. And as final note, China gave a challenge to all the teams. They haven't been there since 2019. They haven't raced these cars there. They haven't use these Pirelli tires there. The last time they were there, they were running the 13-inch rims, you know? And so it was a bit of a curveball for all the teams. But in the end, Red Bull, the best car, regardless of all the conditions, it rose to the top. And this just, I think, sums up everything.
Indeed. And a final thought on Shanghai, which we weren't there since 2019. And I must admit, I'd forgotten what a great track it is. That turn one's got a rate as probably the best corner, first corner on a Formula One track, that it never ends and that there's two or three lines through it. And reasonably safe. There weren't a lot of incidents on that corner. So I think big thumbs up to the Chinese Grand Prix, the fans, the organizers, superb. It was a very good day for Formula One in China and for Formula One in general. Thank you, guys. Thank you for listening, and catch you on the next one.